In the past, the average human consumed about 2 cups of coffee every week, but in recent times, the importance of coffee to individuals has greatly increased, and now the average human drinks about 400 milligrams of coffee every week, in other words, 4 cups a day. The question always being, why did coffee suddenly become so addictive? My name is Jeremy Cole, and contrary to the norm, I barely drink coffee. While I know that may seem weird to most people, I personally never felt the need to have a cup of coffee every morning before going on with my day-to-day activities. Although once in a while when I felt like having some, I would stop by Dunkin' on the way to work and get an iced coffee and some donuts, as it was the closest coffee place to our apartment. I had 2 roommates at the time, one of which was my best friend Henry, and the other my girlfriend Madeline. We'd all been in each other's lives for almost 5 years, but unlike me, they swear by their coffee and can barely go a day without some. One afternoon on our way back from work, Henry noticed something that immediately had him grinning. It was a new Starbucks they had been constructing for the past few months, right across the street, and it was finally open. He and Madeline had been anticipating this for weeks, as Starbucks apparently had the best coffee out there, and this meant they no longer had to walk all the way to Dunkin's. It didn't take long for them to start their Starbucks experience, as the very next day, Henry walked in with 3 coffees and said,
"Hey guys, you'd never believe this. Apparently the first cup you buy is free."
He handed one to Madeline, and she replied,
"What's the catch?"
"Nothing, just that I taste it and give them my review."
He stopped to take another sip before saying,
"Best coffee I've ever tasted."
Madeline drank it and immediately had a smile on her face.
"I agree,"
she said. Henry handed me the spare one and said,
"Come on, man, it's Starbucks, not that Dunkin' shit."
I laughed and responded with, "We need to get to work, man." Henry and I worked at a gym downtown. I worked the register and Henry was a gym instructor. He seemed oddly energetic that day and I figured it was probably because he had 2 cups of coffee that morning and didn't think much of it. As the days went by, I began to notice a sluggishness around my roommates. They were barely sleeping and would black out mid-conversations. Soon enough, they began developing bags at the base of their eyes and seemed to be losing weight as each day went by. This affected Henry the most as his job required him to be fit if he was going to help anyone exercise. I eventually decided to ask them if they were using any drugs, as that was the only explanation that could come to mind. The next morning, I called them both to the couch and said,
guys, is everything all right?"
They didn't respond, and silence filled the room as they both seemed to be staring at something behind me with an obvious look of concern and fear on their faces. I immediately looked back to see what was so distracting, but there was absolutely nothing in the room that hadn't been there for months. At this point, it didn't take a psychologist to know something was clearly wrong with them. So I said, "Henry, Madeline, are you guys okay?" Their attention shifted to me. They had a visible look of confusion on their faces. Madeline then said,
"What do you mean?"
As she pulled out a piece of her hair, "I mean, you guys have been acting very strange, and I'm worried about you both," I replied. Now, they didn't say anything at first. They simply looked at each other for a minute. Then Henry stood and said,
"We're okay, man. We've actually been talking about how lately we've been happier than ever."
As he spoke, I couldn't help but notice more strange things. His eyes looked empty, and although he was smiling, his face was expressionless. I couldn't help but wonder when exactly he started looking so empty. Madeline was standing now and had come over to where I was. She hugged me and rested her head on my chest, and I couldn't help noticing something about her too. She had bald spots all over her head. I had noticed lately how she would pull out her hair at random intervals, but I didn't think it was this bad. When she stepped back from the hug, I realized her eyes also seemed empty, and just like Henry, she seemed helpless and expressionless. Now, at this point, my mind had started racing to try to figure out what was happening to my roommates. Eventually, I noticed we were running late for work, so I told Henry we should probably get going. He said I'd have to wait for him downstairs, as he had to get their coffee first. Both he and Madeline now got 2 cups of coffee every morning before heading out, and 2 cups when they got back. That day, Henry seemed super sluggish and phased out. I figured it was due to the fact it was a Monday and very busy. This usually didn't affect me, as people didn't need me as much as him in the gym. As I stood at my workstation, I couldn't help but go back to this morning. There was something definitely wrong with my roommates. The question was, what? I decided to think back when they started acting weird, but my thoughts were interrupted by a scream followed by people running out of the gym. I immediately ran to see what was going on, but the horrific sight I was met with wasn't what I expected to see. Henry was standing over on the other side of the gym with some employees. His head was in his hands, and I could tell he was crying. That's when I saw it. A guy was lying on the bench press with his neck snapped back. His eyes were open, but had rolled to the back of his head, and the 100-kilogram weights that killed him laid on the floor behind his head. My stomach churned at the sight, and I couldn't help but walk back to my station. The cops and paramedics showed up in about 10 minutes, and it was stated the man died on impact. Henry was responsible for spotting the dead man, so the cops called him aside to ask a few questions. Henry was visibly shaking throughout the interrogation, and after some time, the cops came over to ask me and the manager some questions. Now, most of the time, this would be flagged as irresponsibility on the part of the gym and the individual. Worst case scenario, you would be shut down for a couple months and have to make some improvements to assure us the safety standards have improved. The officer paused and looked back at Henry as if he had disappointing news. Unfortunately, this isn't one of those scenarios, as we have cause to believe your employee was under the influence while working here and was partly responsible for the death of the young man. Our manager didn't seem at all fazed by what the officer just said, and I realized I wasn't the only one with the suspicion that Henry was using drugs. The officer continued with, "Now, we were informed that you're his roommate. Do you know if Henry had been using any drugs or drinking before coming in today?" I responded with, "No, officer. As far as I know, he doesn't use any drugs, and all he had to drink this morning was Starbucks." As soon as I said the words, the realization hit me. The officer gave me his card and informed me to give him my address as they would come by later with a warrant to check for drugs, as Henry showed all the signs of being intoxicated. He also informed Henry he would have to take a drug test and be brought in for questioning. I raced home to check on Madeline, as I still hadn't figured out how Starbucks was responsible for their strange behavior. But before anything else, I didn't want her to hurt herself or anyone else. I got home to see Madeline on the bed, pulling out her hair and humming. She stared at the ground. She didn't react to me walking into the room, as she continued staring at the floor. I walked over to the bed and sat beside her. "Hey, sweetie, are you okay?" I said. She looked over at me and nodded before looking back at the ground. "Madeline, what are you looking at?" I asked, trying to get her attention. She didn't look at me, but she replied,
"The pretty lady."
Her strange demeanor was frightening in a way, and I found myself looking for the woman she was talking about. "What lady?" I said. Madeline still didn't look up as she replied,
"Can't you see her? The lady with the long hair and star crown? She's been here for a while now."
Everything about how serious she was frightened me. I was scared for her, and I was scared for Henry, too. I knew telling the cops Starbucks was responsible for my friend's behavior would be unbelievable, and I had to somehow get proof that I was crazy. I got up slowly from the bed and said, "Hey, I'm going to head out for a while. Don't go anywhere, all right?" Almost immediately, she looked at me with a disturbed face and said,
"The lady says you shouldn't do anything dumb, Jeremy."
Now, I didn't know what she meant by this or what she assumed I'd be doing, but I decided not to think too much of it, as she clearly wasn't in the right state of mind. I locked the door and took her keys so she wouldn't be able to get out until I came back with help. I walked across the street to the Starbucks and right before walking in, something caught my eye. Their logo was a lady with long hair and a crown. At this point, I wasn't too sure if walking in there was such a good idea, but I mustered up the courage and stepped in. At first glance, the store had nothing eerie about it, but as I looked around, I realized I was horribly wrong. All the customers seemed to be in the exact same condition as Henry and Madeline. Most of them had chunks of hair missing, and they were talking to the tables and floor, but the most noticeable similarity they had to my roommates was the empty and hopeless looks in their eyes. I walked up to the register and realized their employees looked nothing like the customers. They looked perfect and healthy and didn't seem to be seeing things. I guess I was lost in thought as the guy at the register spoke.
"Good afternoon. What's your order, please?"
he said. "Just give me an iced coffee," I replied. He nodded as he headed over to get my drink. He returned shortly with my coffee and handed it to me. I got out my wallet to pay and he said,
"It's complimentary."
This seemed odd to me, so I asked, "Why? What's the catch?" He laughed before replying with,
"It's your first time at Starbucks, sir, so it's complimentary. But we actually request you drink it and give a review before heading out."
I tried not to act weird as I had no intention of ever drinking this. "Well, I'm sorry about that. I'd much rather pay and send in a review later." It was clear he wasn't too happy about what I had just said, as his nice and friendly demeanor quickly changed.
"I'm sorry, sir, but that's not policy. If there's a problem, you can kindly return your drink and leave."
I stared at the drink and pondered my options. I decided a sip would probably not have any effect on me, as I wasn't going to drink any more of it, ever again. So, I drank it. What I expected to taste wasn't at all what I tasted. It tasted heavenly, like something I had never tasted before. I resisted the urge to keep drinking, as I didn't want to end up like the rest of the people here. I looked at the man at the register and said, "It's good." He didn't look happy, as if what I had just said wasn't satisfactory enough for him. He simply smiled and replied,
"Well, just come back next time. Remember, it's more than just coffee. It's coffee that inspires. It's Starbucks."
I walked out of the store and immediately called the officer to inform him I found what Henry took. He told me they were almost at my apartment, as he had something important to question me about. I walked upstairs to check on Madeline, and as I unlocked the door, she still sat in the same spot, staring at the floor. She immediately looked up at the coffee I was holding and said,
"Can I have some of that?"
I looked at her and instantly felt horrible. She didn't seem like the same person I fell in love with. I replied, "No, sweetie. You can't have this, but help is on the way." I was crying now as I held her hands. She looked at me and took a piece of her hair out.
"Come on, just a little,"
she said. She was visibly upset now and tried snatching it from me. I didn't know what to do and was worried she'd become violent, so I decided to go back downstairs and check if the cops had arrived. Luckily, they had. The officer had a worried look on his face, so I said, "Is there something wrong, officer?" He responded with, "The drug test was carried out on Henry, and it's something we've never seen before. We're hoping you can give us a sample, and we can find out exactly what it is." I was worried about the cops not knowing exactly what drug it was, as I had hoped it wouldn't be something that bad. "Of course. Here's a sample," I said as I handed him the Starbucks coffee. Naturally, he looked at me like I was insane, so I continued with, "You have to trust me, officer. I don't know how, but I know it has something to do with that drink." He stared at me for a while as if he was trying to figure out if I was joking with him or not. He eventually nodded and handed it to another cop.
"I hope you're right," he said.
"I hope so too. But there's someone else upstairs that also needs help. I think she's on the same thing Henry's on," I replied. I explained the situation to them and they followed me upstairs. They explained I should probably talk to her first and explain the situation, as their going in might startle her and lead to a violent reaction. I walked through the door, and immediately felt a sharp pain sear through my back. I fell to the floor before turning to see Madeline standing over me, holding a knife. She looked completely insane now and had a crazy look in her eyes.
Where is it? Where is it?
She said, looking around me like I dropped something. I immediately screamed for the cops to come in and restrain her. She stepped away from me in the door, holding the knife towards the officer, and said,
What is this, Jeremy? Why are the cops here?
She was obviously alarmed, so I replied, Calm down, Madeline. The officers are here to help you. The pain in my back was giving me a pounding headache, and I couldn't say anything without my head aching even more. Madeline looked at me and screamed.
She told you not to do anything stupid, Jeremy.
She paused and began looking all over the room, saying,
I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
I guess at this point, the officer had seen enough to know Madeline wasn't in the right state of mind, as he said. That's enough, ma'am. We're here to help. Please put down the knife and come with us. Madeline didn't seem fazed by the officer. She looked at me and said,
Please, babe, just one cup and I'll go with you. Just one cup, please. Please. Please.
She was screaming now, so the officer then spoke to his colleague, saying, Donald, unarm and restrain her. Proceed with caution. An officer, who I figured was Donald, started walking towards Madeline.
Don't come near me,
she said, stepping back. Calm down, ma'am, the officer replied, walking closer. She began muttering the words,
Just one cup, just one.
And as she said those words, she got a look on her face, like she had just realized something. She looked out the window and saw the Starbucks across the street. We all realized what she was about to do and rushed towards her. But she ran and jumped. The officers called in the paramedics and rushed outside to help her. I looked outside the window to see her in a pool of blood. Her legs were twisted the wrong way, but she was alive. She pulled herself up to crawl towards Starbucks for about 3 seconds before she died. There was something truly sickening with the sight of her disfigured body dragging itself towards Starbucks. My head was still pounding and I couldn't help but cry. I did nothing but cry. In the weeks that followed, it was discovered that the drugs being ingested by the Starbucks customers hadn't been seen anywhere prior to this case. The Starbucks across the street was shut down and all employees were imprisoned. The attempt to shut down the Starbucks franchise as a whole was futile and resulted in only the one being closed. Henry was put in rehab as he had inflicted harm on himself while in custody. It was reported that he had slammed his head on the cell repeatedly, and it hasn't been determined if he did this in an attempt to get the madly addictive drink or out of guilt for the man he had killed while under the influence. Sadly, there has been no progress with his case. All victims that were brought into custody claim to see the same beautiful woman with long hair and a star-headed crown. No explanation was given as to how they all saw the Starbucks logo speaking to them. It seemed all of them got addicted after their first sip. The employees refused to testify or give any statements about the drug or Starbucks, and the drug was soon termed the Starbucks Special. I'm currently standing outside Henry's rehab clinic. I came to visit him today, but lately he refused to see me. He didn't take Madeline's death well. My Uber should be arriving any time now. Oh, there it is.
Good afternoon, sir. Where are you headed?
Starbucks.
The closest one that's open is downtown, sir.
Is that a problem?
I'm sorry, sir. I don't want to seem intrusive, but have you heard about their issues lately? I just want to make sure you're aware and safe.
That's nice of you, sir, but I've had it before and I'm fine. All I need is just one cup.
I grew up in a comparatively rich family. My dad had a successful business, and my mom was a lawyer. However, my parents made it a point to raise me in a humble setting, which meant I had to get a job and earn my own pocket money. Back then, I was fascinated by coffee and decided to work as a barista at Starbucks. Although I was still in high school, I loved my part-time job at the local Starbucks, and the money I earned was great as well. A few months into my job, I was in my senior year of high school, and a very beautiful girl showed up in Starbucks one night. She had raven black hair, piercing blue eyes, and pale skin. She looked like a movie star to me. She was wearing a modest dress and ordered a simple coffee. I served the order and continued to work, but my eyes kept going toward her. She sat on the last table and just sipped at her coffee in peace. Later, when the store was about to close, she just got up, left some tips on the table, and walked away. From that day on, this girl used to come every night to the Starbucks and leave just before the store used to close. And one of my coworkers had a massive crush on her, but we did not dare talk to her. We knew that she was maybe a few years older than us, but she was stunning nonetheless. On my 18th birthday, just a few days before graduation, my parents decided to surprise me with a new car. It was nothing fancy, just a Ford Mustang. Back then, having my own car was a big deal. I took my car everywhere from then on, to school, to parties, and even to work. One day, as I was cleaning the platforms just before the store was about to close, I saw the same raven-haired girl walk in. By now, I had her order by heart and placed it even before she could say it out loud. Once I had given her the coffee, I continued with my work. Sometime later, she left, and I and my buddy locked up the store and left too. While I was driving home, I saw the girl just standing a block away from Starbucks. I had a nice car, and to be honest, I wanted to show it off a bit. So I decided to ask the girl if she wanted a lift home. I slowed the car down beside her on the road and spoke. "Hey, do you need a lift home?" For a few seconds, she looked at me funny, and once she recognized me from the store, she smiled and said,
"Oh, really? Would you drop me off at home?"
I was 18 and a bit stupid, so I replied, "Yeah, why not? Hop on in and just let me know where you live." She sat on the passenger side and told me where she lived. Although she lived on the other side of town, I was delighted to spend some time with her.
"So, you still in high school?"
"Yeah, it's my senior year."
High school is a good time in your life. You should enjoy it while you can. After that, life hits hard."
I was a bit naive to understand what she meant back then, but I was just glad that she was with me and I could get to tell all my friends the next day that I gave her a ride home. "What do you do?" I dared to ask.
"I used to go to college."
"Why did you leave?"
"Because there was nothing left for me there."
Her cryptic talks were a bit confusing, but I didn't mind much.
"What do you want to do after high school?"
"Well, I'm planning to go to the university. I was hoping to get a sports scholarship."
"That's good. Get out of this stupid small town while you can, or else, like some of us, you'll be stuck here forever."
I truly was clueless about what she meant at that point, so I decided to keep quiet and drive towards her home. For the rest of the ride, she was quiet and kept on looking out of the window. When we reached the address she had told me, I got out of the car and opened the door for her. She thanked me and walked away in the direction of a small house, which was probably the only house in that block. I got in my car and started driving back home. Midway through the ride, my eyes drifted toward the passenger seat, and I saw a silk scarf lying there. Crap, looks like she forgot her scarf. I decided to turn around and return the scarf to her. I knew where she lived, anyways. After about 10 minutes, I was at her doorstep, holding her scarf in one hand and knocking on the door with the other. An elderly man opened the door. He looked as if he was about 70 years old. "Hello, sir. I'm Matthias, and I dropped off your daughter here tonight. I think she left her scarf in the car, and I'm here to return it to her." Before I could complete my sentence, an elderly woman came and stood beside the man. It was clear that the man and the woman were husband and wife, and from their facial features, I also figured out that they were related to the girl from Starbucks. They were perhaps her parents, I guess. The woman looked at me for a while and snatched the scarf from my hand and began crying into it. I was confused as to what was going on. The man, too, had tears in his eyes.
I think you should come inside.
Sure, sir. I was a bit hesitant at first, but eventually followed them inside.
Sit here, son.
The old man made me sit in his living room. The woman had disappeared somewhere in the home.
How did you meet my daughter, son?
The man reappeared with a cup of coffee for me. She visits the Starbucks I work at almost every night, so today I decided to drop her off here, but she forgot her scarf.
10 years back, my daughter was returning home from the Starbucks you work at when she met with an accident. A drunk guy was behind the wheel, and we lost our only child. From that year onward, at least, one of the Starbucks employees comes here claiming to have met our daughter. She is dead, son, and I don't know who you met or who you dropped off here. I agree the scarf you brought is indeed hers, but if you see her again, please do not talk or interact with her. We do not want you to get hurt.
I was stunned after hearing the man's confession, and I left the place, shell-shocked. As I got back in the car to drive home, I felt as if someone was sitting in the back seat. I checked if anyone was there, but the seat was empty. I started the car and left the place. While I was on the highway, I looked in the rearview mirror, and she was sitting in the back seat. I was so terrified that I lost control of the car and crashed into the divider. Although I was in an accident, I was not hurt. I got out of my car, which was completely smashed from the front, and saw another car opposite to me. This car had crashed into a tree too, but upon closer inspection, I noticed that the driver had passed out and was probably drunk too. Plus, he was driving his car on the wrong side of the road. If the girl had not appeared in my rearview mirror, this guy would have crashed into me, and I would have been killed as well. Looked like the girl saved my life that night. For the next couple of days, I kept an eye out for the black-haired girl, but she never showed up in the Starbucks or anywhere else. Finally, I graduated and moved on with my life, not giving a second thought to the incident. But even now, whenever I visit my hometown, I make it a point to buy a coffee from the Starbucks I used to work in the hopes to meet the ghost of the beautiful, raven-haired girl again.